This time we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. All doing this morning? Doing good? Look what I got. Who's excited?
New bag.
Yeah, new bag. I forgot to get it, and I called my wife this morning, and in the midst of all that she had to do, she got it. So thank you. Now, in the bag this morning, I've put something in the bag, and it's something I got yesterday. Can anyone guess what it is? Joel, you know what it is, so don't say it. Can anyone guess? Can't, no, it's not candy. Nice try, though. No, not a video game. It is a stuffed animal. Can you guess what kind of animal? Yeah, you can. No, it's not a bear. No? Not a dog.
It's a lion.
It's a lion. That's right. I want y'all to meet Cecil. I got this little guy. You can pet him. I got this guy yesterday from some of the girls in our youth group. When we were out in the mall, Robbie gave us all $2 and said to go and bless somebody. And while the girls were out, they saw this lion and they thought of me. And they thought of me because in the sermon that we heard earlier that morning, the pastor talked to us about facing our lions. And he talked about the story of David. And we all know the story of David and Goliath. Yeah, but what did David have to do? Hi, Lincoln, how are you? What, he's been waiting for me to say hi to him all. How are you?
Cute.
Very cute, yes. And before David could face the giant, he had to face some lions. While he was a shepherd, there were lions and bears that tried to get the sheep, and he had to fight them. Our Sunday school teachers are doing excellent work. All right. Yeah, but before that happened, David fought off lions and bears. And all of us have different lions and bears that we have to fight off. All of us have things in life that we struggle with and that we need to get through. And God is always there to help us, okay? So I want us to remember that. And who would like, would you like the bag this time?
I want the bag.
Well, Liliana is reaching for it. So we're going to give Liliana the bag this week. And she's going to bring, oh, she's very excited. And she's going to bring something next week. And then we'll see what happens, all right? Okay, let's pray, and then you guys can go to children's church, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for these children, for the joy that they are to teach, Lord, and to learn from. We pray that you would continue to be with them as they grow. Lord, we pray that you would be with those issues, those lions in our lives that we have to wrestle with and to deal with. And we pray for your grace to do so. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to children's church.
I have a puppy right there.
Very cool.
I have a puppy.
Very cool. I would ask, I failed to mention this during our prayer time, but if you do, just keep our youth group in your prayers as they travel back from Louisville later today. I know they would covet your prayers for that, and they've just been having a good time this weekend, and we praise God for that. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. This is another favorite scripture passage that has been brought to me by those in our congregation, and again, thank you for entrusting me with these favorite passages of yours. Hear now God's word from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. If any of you are suffering, they should pray. If any of you are happy, they should sing. If any of you are sick, they should call for the elders of the church, and the elders should pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer that comes from faith will heal the sick, for the Lord will restore them to health. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. For this reason, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful in what it can achieve. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for the reading and the hearing of this your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak this morning. May they be your words and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies that you have given to us, be faithful and obedient to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Healing. Healing is something we all desire at some point or another in our lives, in some season or another. If we haven't desired it yet, there will inevitably be a time where we desire it. I found this topic interesting because I've taken many spiritual assessment tests, many spiritual gift tests. Do you want to know what I have always scored zero on? The gift of healing. And I find that so interesting and so ironic. And really, it speaks the truth, because it's not any person that heals, but it is God that does the healing, if we will avail ourselves to what he wants to offer. But healing this morning is something we all desire. We desire to be made whole. We desire to be complete. We desire perfection. And indeed, in the United Methodist Church, we desire to strive and to continue on and to mature, to be those perfect Christians that Christ has called us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We're promised in this passage in verse 15 that faithful prayer heals. That's what James is telling us. Yet there are so many people who are suffering. There are so many people that are sick that it doesn't appear as if this is the case. And we have to ask ourselves this morning, has James gotten some mixed signals from God? This is believed to be the brother of Jesus. So has he simply misconstrued something? Has he gone out on a limb and said something that he may not have heard from God? Or maybe God is lying to us. But surely that can't be the case. We're told in verse 16 that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful in what they can achieve. And yet, how many of us have prayed and prayed, and we have seemingly not been heard? And so the natural question this morning is, what gives? Is this true? Is it not true? What are the variables? What are the factors? Have we not held our heads right when we've done it, right? Is there something we've missed? And I believe a lot of this stems merely from our misconception about what prayer and healing are really all about. You see, often when we talk of healing, we talk of healing and we talk of prayer, but James mentions a third thing. He mentions confession. There must be healing and prayer and confession that takes place. That's the outline, that's the formula that he puts before us. And all of this is within the framework of James' kind of overarching theme throughout his letter, and that is patience. We're quick to pray for healing, but how many of us are quick to pray for patience? I'm very patient in how I pray for patience. I don't do it very often. I think we need to consider some of the false assumptions we tend to associate with prayer and healing so we can have a better idea of what this looks like. And so we can see that when James says this, he is speaking the truth. When God promises this, God is promising something that he will do, but we need to be mindful of our part in it. We need to be mindful of what this looks like. The first assumption this morning is that we tend to assume that our will is God's will. Anybody ever made that assumption? Yes. We assume that but I'm a pastor. Surely what I want is what God wants. It's a very sobering fact to realize that just because you want something good to happen doesn't mean that God does. Good and great are two very different things, are they not? We often ask God for good things when He is prepared and ready and willing to do great things, if we'll just allow Him to do that. My dad and I have two pet peeves when it comes to prayer. It really bothers us when someone says Lord like every other word. It also bothers us when people pray that God would just do something. Has anyone here ever had a just prayer? Lord, if you'll just do this, and 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 just do this, that would be great. Why do we put just in there? Don't we think He wants to do so much more than that? And if we say just do this, we've really narrowed it down, and then chances are what we're going to hear is nothing. Silence. God doesn't want the good. He wants the great. We're short-sighted when we pray to God, aren't we? Because we pray for things that we see, things that we want accomplished or changed. God, on the other hand, is farsighted. He has to take everything into account when He does something. When I pray for something, I'm usually praying for something for me or for my family. And at the end of the day, that gets pretty selfish and self-centered, doesn't it? God, on the other hand, sees how that might affect everybody else. And so He does what He does, knowing that He will do the greatest good for the greatest amount of people every single time. A righteous person, their prayers are powerful because they seek God's will above everything else. I think that's what differentiates a righteous person's prayers from, more often than not, my prayers. Christ is a great example of this, of course, as most things. He prays in Matthew 26:39, "Let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Not what I want, not my desire, not my will, but your will be done. And I wonder if any of us in here this morning have the faith or the patience to pray that prayer. That's a tall order that is set before us. You see, prayer is first and foremost meant to draw us closer to God. That's its intent. It's conversation with God. He simply wants to talk with us. He wants to know how our day is going. He wants to hear from us. He wants to share with us things that He wants us to know and to hear. And the closer we get to God, the more righteous we become, because we begin to see how He is moving and working. We begin to align our will to His because we see it so much more clearly than we did before. True healing occurs when we align our will to God's. That's when we'll see it. That's when we will be opened to it. That's when it will happen. Only then do we see why things are the way that they are. And we can think, you know what, I think I can deal with whatever I'm dealing with for now, because there are far greater things that need to be dealt with. And we can be okay with that. The first assumption is we tend to assume that our will is God's will. The second assumption is that we assume we're righteous people. Am I the only one that assumes that this morning? That I'm a righteous person? No, I'm not. And this is why we fail to confess the way we should. Confession is hard, it's difficult, but it is so very freeing. Again, when we talk about healing, when we talk about prayer, we often do so and we forget confession altogether. Confession must accompany prayer and faith. It must. It's a non-negotiable. Without any confession, we cannot truly begin to see what God's will is. And confession is truly a beautiful discipline. When we confess our sins to God and others, we begin to align our wills with God's. Forgive me, Lord, for putting my will above your will. Forgive me for thinking that I could figure this out on my own. Forgive me for whatever it is I have done or said or not done that would preclude me from seeing you as clearly as possible. We must confess our sins to God. We must also confess our sins to others. Tell other people things that we struggle with, things that we wrestle with. I have the wonderful opportunity to meet with a friend of mine every Wednesday morning on the computer. And we talk and we share and we ask each other, how is it with your soul? Where have you been closest to God this week? Where have you been furthest from God? And there are times I can't wait for Wednesday to get here because I got stuff I got to unload. And there are other times I really don't want Wednesday to show up. And then not just to confess, but to hear my friend say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Because we can't know that we're forgiven if we don't confess anything. We must confess our love for God no matter how things turn out. Our love for God shouldn't be conditional, yet it always seems to be. This implies a complete trust in God. On the next slide, there should be a prayer. Ah, beautiful. I put this in our newsletter in January, this prayer from Wesley's Covenant Service, and I'll ask you to join with me in this prayer this morning and just allow this to be your prayer today. Join with me if you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give all to your pleasure and disposal. Something about that is just, oh, I feel so much better. Lord, do what you want to do with me because I know you have my best interest at heart. Confessing our love to God no matter how things turn out, whether we're full or empty, whether we are employed or laid aside, giving all to God's pleasure and disposal. Confessing then to others, not just things that we've done, but confessing to others what God has done. Basically praising God for his action, and maybe even more importantly, praising God for his inaction. Lord, thank you for not giving me what I asked for here because I would have completely missed everything that you were wanting to do over here. Confession is so crucial because I think only if we pray for healing, we've missed the point of prayer and faith entirely. Because in that confession, we begin to heal and God begins to put on that gracious salve that just washes over us when we confess. We tend to assume that God's will is our will. We tend to assume that we're righteous people, thus failing to confess. And third, we tend to do a lot of this in isolation, don't we? We emphasize to our detriment our personal relationship with Jesus Christ far too much. Yes, Jesus and I have a personal relationship. There are facets of this relationship that are just he and I. But I want to say that is a small portion of my relationship with him, because if I am not in relationship with others, if I'm not in relationship with community, if I'm trying to do everything on my own, I am going to fail. We emphasize Jesus and me far too much. Jesus is not just our personal Lord and Savior. He is our universal and corporate Lord and Savior. I hate to burst your bubble today in a society that finds all of us as special and gives everyone a participation trophy and all this wonderful stuff. Jesus did not come just to save you. What? What do we see God saying he wants to do all throughout Scripture. He wants to free the nations. He wants to save all peoples. He wants everyone to come to know Him in a very real way. But as Americans, as individuals, as those who strive to do for ourselves, we often miss that. And we think that, well, that's between me and Jesus. Well, no, it's not, quite frankly. If you're struggling, that means I'm struggling. If you have an issue, that means I have an issue because I'm your brother in Christ. And if we can't confess those things to each other, if we can't work that out together, then we've failed. We've missed the point. Israel was caught up in this. They were told to bless the nations, and they refused to do so. In verse 14, we're told to gather the elders together to pray, to anoint, and to lay hands on those who are sick. We are in this together. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice because we are one body together. Healing can only be found in community because we heal each other through God's grace. Prayer is meant to be corporate. Healing is meant to be corporate. Confession is meant to be corporate. Forgiveness is meant to be corporate. That is where we find our wholeness. That is where we find our completeness when we are together. In our desire this morning to be healed, in our desire this morning to be made whole and complete, I wonder how many of us will admit that we're broken and in need of that healing. I wonder if we'll come for anointing this morning, believing that God desires to heal us of all of our suffering and sickness in His way and in His time. Instead of asking God to heal us this morning, maybe we should come and be anointed so that we might know more about God. So that we will see God more completely. That we will see God more fully. That we will see God more perfectly. And in that way, healing is bound to take place. In that way, restoration, reconciliation, redemption cannot stop or fail. Maybe the real healing we need is in our perception of who God is and who we are because of who God is. I don't know. Like I said, I score a zero on this every single time. Certainly no expert. But God is. God knows what you need. And God is ready and willing to give you what you need. And so I hope and pray for us this morning that our wants, after time spent with prayer and with God, will become our needs. And that we'll lay our wants aside and say, Lord, use me for what you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give all to your pleasure and disposal. Amen. Amen. This morning we have the opportunity to come for anointing, for healing, a service of healing. We come to this table boldly, asking God for things that may seem foolish, asking God for things that we don't really even know.